Sisters and brothers, there's no doubt these have been tough times for the labor movement in British Columbia. Use the phrase today, 3.5 years of no gain and a lot of pain for working people and for other British Columbians. And it's pretty easy to be angry at all politicians. But let me tell you, there is hope in this province. There are politicians who understand what working people need in this province. Politicians who actually remember a time when there was such a thing as the public interest rather than private greed. And you know, one of those politicians who understand the role of the labor movement, who understand what it means to listen to working people, is the leader of the Democratic Party, Carol James. She was elected 1 year ago, and she has done a hell of a job for us standing up for working people. Join with me in welcoming the next Premier of British Columbia, Carol James, and Jenny Kwong, and Jagrup Rao.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jim, Angie, all of you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. Friends, I'm going to cut right to the chase. We're coming down to the wire, 167 days to go until election. And across British Columbia, the NDP is on the move. Jagrup Rao's decisive victory in Surrey Panorama Ridge. It certainly was a huge shot in the arm for all of us. And everywhere I travel in British Columbia, I feel the momentum growing. There's a renewed sense of energy and purpose in the NDP. British Columbians are tired of Gordon Campbell's extreme agenda. They've had enough of his mean-spirited policies. They've had enough of longer healthcare wait lists and cuts to classrooms. They've had enough of privatization. They've had enough of taxpayer-funded partisan advertising. And they've certainly had enough of the last-minute political makeovers the Premier's trying to give himself. British Columbia is at a critical moment in its history, and our party, indeed every British Columbian that shares core progressive values, has a responsibility to rise to this moment. I'm not going to spend too much time on the failures of the Campbell government. British Columbians know the stories. You know the stories. Like the single mother who worked her way off income assistance and into law school, only to face the prospect of leaving school under the Liberals because of skyrocketing tuition fees and the rollback of grants and student loans. Like Casey, the senior citizen who lived and worked his entire life in the community of Golden, who needed long-term care and was moved 700 kilometers away to Burnaby because the Liberals closed long-term care beds. And now, when we're 6 months away from an election, we heard last week that Casey is being moved back again. Or like the shipyard worker who's watching his tax dollars create jobs in Germany and Poland, while he and his family face an uncertain future here at home. We all want change. We can look back at the past with pride on our successes and with reflection on our challenges. But now, our task is to focus on the future, to align our vision with the hopes and aspirations of the vast majority of British Columbians who work hard paid their fair share of taxes, and who deserve the best government in return. At the dawn of this new century, we're faced with new challenges and new opportunities. Today, British Columbia is experiencing one of the greatest social and economic transformations of the past 100 years. BC's local communities reflect the great diversity of our global society. We are energetic, outward-looking, cosmopolitan, and open. British Columbia embodies all of the potential for a new and better world. But to get there, to realize our fullest potential, our politics must reflect the new reality of our province. As leader of the NDP, BC's great progressive force for ordinary people, I believe we must have the courage to change. Our enduring values must be reflected in a new agenda for progressive change. A declaration that social equality and a dynamic economy are not mutually exclusive. Our current premier falls into an old and tired pattern. He says we must forego social concerns for economic ones. But British Columbians are seeing that this choice is a false one. They're learning that this old way of thinking only helps foster the bitter and divisive polarization that has dominated BC's politics for far too long. And that by choosing sides, one against the other, British Columbia fails. Friends, today a dynamic economy is impossible without social justice and expanded opportunities for working people. And I also believe that expanded opportunity and social inclusion are impossible without a dynamic economy. Saying this doesn't mean abandoning our values. It means broadening the scope of our traditions and embracing our historic value of inclusiveness. New Democrats have long understood that we're only successful as a community when we come together for a common purpose. It was for a common purpose that the NDP and working people came together, to help build a world where benefits and responsibility were more broadly shared, through the creation of Medicare, through the expansion of public education, through the creation of public utilities like BC Hydro. And through resource policies that benefit local jobs and local communities. In short, a world where opportunity is available to the many, not just the few. The agenda of conflict and division being delivered by Gordon Campbell government quite simply prevents our province and its citizens from achieving our full potential. I believe we're poised on the verge of a historic opportunity to revitalize a progressive agenda, to build a new consensus for our future. The real choice we have before us is to seize that opportunity, to move forward together with an approach that is relevant to the majority of British Columbians. It's why I've reached out to the business community as part of my effort to speak to all British Columbians, not as a cynical political tactic to occupy some middle ground, but because without the business community, without their ideas and energy, without your ideas and energy, we aren't going to achieve our potential. I'm telling business the same thing I'm telling you today, that every British Columbian shares a common destiny, that united we can achieve great things. We can seize control of our destiny, but divided, our destiny will seize control of us. That in the global economy, where knowledge drives growth, we can't afford to waste the talent of even one person. And if the rewards of our economy are not shared more widely, if opportunities are not available more broadly for ordinary people and for all regions, our long-term prospects for economic growth and social equality will dim. And our opportunity to be a global economic, environmental, and social leader will be lost. That's why the Gordon Campbell approach is so backward. Today, as a result of his direction, our province is in reverse. It's more polarized and divided than it's ever been. If BC was, in the words of former Premier Mike Harcourt, a hot province a few years ago, today it's boiling over. I believe very strongly that if we're going to achieve our potential, we need an approach that bridges the divide, that demands of each of us a willingness to learn, to listen, to encourage compromises, and to provide a new kind of leadership for the province. The Liberals' one-sided approach to government leaves too many people out. It picks winners and losers, and it doesn't work. I've been to Barrier, ravaged by the fires of 2003, and I've spoken to the people left behind in Mr. Campbell's divided economy. There, as in other places in BC, unemployed forest workers watch as truckloads of raw logs leave their community. Because the link has been broken between our communities and the jobs and resources they produce. We need a new approach. In the spirit of cooperation and goodwill, I invited the business community to the NDP table to develop and nurture a constructive dialogue about how we move forward, not as a variety of interests scoring points at each other's expenses, but in partnership for the broad public interest. And today, I make a commitment to you. Under an NDP government, working people will always have a seat at the table. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that we'll always agree. My job is to build consensus around change, but my job is also to make difficult choices, and it's my job to lead. That's why I've set down a few principles that will guide the New Democrats under my leadership. First, fiscal responsibility. Under my leadership, the NDP is making fiscal responsibility a top priority. We can govern effectively. We can expand opportunity. We can build the province we want. But we can do none of these things if we mortgage our children's future. Fiscal responsibility is a first principle of modern progressive governance, and it's one I won't veer from. The NDP, under my leadership, will balance the budget. Second, open and accountable government. The Campbell government is one of the most secretive governments in our province's history. He's made it impossible for the Auditor General to do his job. He's blown millions on taxpayer-funded partisan advertising. And he's taken public accountability away from key public agencies such as health authorities. The NDP will give the Auditor General the tools he needs to do his job. We will eliminate partisan advertising and will take big money out of politics by introducing campaign finance reform. And we'll restore public accountability to agencies such as our health authorities and BC Ferries. Third opportunity. A Carol James NDP will take every measure possible within the framework of a balanced budget to expand opportunity, an equal opportunity to fulfill one's potential, whether it be the daughter of a forest worker who wants to build a successful business, or the son of a doctor who wants to pursue a trade. A society where opportunity is broadly distributed will succeed. A society that tolerates barriers to opportunity will fail. Gordon Campbell just doesn't understand that. Massive tuition fee hikes, cuts to education funding, the removal of skills and apprenticeship training, and chaos at the Ministry for Children and Families means that in BC, the opportunity to get a good start in life is being denied. We all lose when we have a wage structure that forces people into poverty. The $6 training wage hasn't created one new job, and that's why I told the BC Business Council that under the NDP, the $6 training wage will be gone. We all lose when BC's companies and BC workers can't bid on BC projects like our new ferries. We all lose when we shut the doors of women's centres to save a meager $1.7 million. And we all lose when we don't have labour laws that protect our children. Let me tell you today, under the NDP, these things will change. Fourth, privatization. Privatization is the issue that threatens to create a province of have and have-nots. The NDP will not sell off BC's public assets or move to private health care. Gordon Campbell's drive to privatize is based on ideology. Our opposition to privatization is based on common sense and good business sense. The simple fact is this: privatization costs you more money. Whether it's privatized auto insurance, privatized rail service, or privatized health care, the record elsewhere is crystal clear. Ordinary people and average families wind up paying more for vital services. Working together, we are going to stop Mr. Campbell's sell-off of our province. Fifth, consensus, not confrontation. As I said, in BC, we will always have passionate disagreements. Arguing about politics is in our genes. But conflict and confrontation for its own sake is destructive to our social and economic climate. It's not good for business, It's not good for working people, and it's certainly not good for British Columbians. When a government rips up contracts, they're breaking a fundamental principle of business and our society. A contract is a contract. When a government arbitrarily tears up agreements, it does more than attack the people who negotiated and signed them in good faith. It sends a message that in BC, a contract isn't worth the paper it's written on. And that message is heard loud and clear wherever investment decisions are made. It perpetuates and reinforces animosity and anger that leads to conflict. And no one, not working people, not business, not government, wins when things degenerate to that level. The same is true when a government promises to spend our tax dollars wisely and then wastes millions on failed schemes. The Gordon Campbell Liberals spent $3 million to privatize the Roberts Bank spur line. They spent $6 million trying to privatize and sell the Coca-Cola. They spent $5 million to take away disability benefits from just 46 people. And the same is true when a government breaks fundamental election promises on issues like BC Rail. When it decides, without notice or community consultation, to sell public assets. Or when it decides, as Gordon Campbell did, to dramatically alter child labor laws and workers' rights without any consultation or discussion. That kind of approach to governing creates a volatile climate, a climate of anger and uncertainty that makes it hard to know what's going to happen from one day to the next. And in a fast-paced global economy, where investment decisions are made in a heartbeat, BC no longer has the luxury of operating this way. We can't afford to say to the world that BC is a beautiful place to live, but not the most stable place to invest or raise a family. We can't afford to have our politics mired in the past. For over a year now, I've traveled from one end of this province to the other many times. I've been listening to British Columbians, hearing what they want for their communities, for their families, and for their future. I've seen more of this incredible province and met more of the incredible people who make our province the envy of the world than I ever thought possible. And here's what I've learned. Although in every region we're different, there's a common thread uniting us all, a pride in our communities, a belief that we're better off and can achieve more in partnership, a common decency and concern for others. Again and again, I've been reminded that average working people are the future of this province. I share these values. These are the values that have informed me my entire life. And I believe they're the values from which spring hope for a fairer, more just and dynamic province. The journey on which our party has embarked on is not an easy one. Reaching out is harder than staying put. Embracing new ideas is more challenging than rejecting them. But we've come a long way. Having few resources and only two seats didn't stop the NDP from speaking out for people hurt by the Campbell government. Yeah. Joy and Jenny led one of the most effective opposition caucuses in Canada. They inspired all of us with their courage and their passion and their strength. Joy and Jenny reminded all of us what New Democrats can achieve when faced with the challenge of standing up for what really matters, the challenge of defending the most vulnerable. And just think, if two NDP MLAs could be that effective, just think what three NDP MLAs are going to do. Last week, we officially added our third MLA, Jagrup Brar. There's new energy in the BC NDP, new faces, and a new resolve. The Surrey by-election was proof of this. In Surrey, we saw seniors, working people, students, and small business come together behind the NDP to tell Gordon Campbell, enough is enough. It's time to listen to ordinary people. Friends, if we're focused on our shared purpose to build a province for the many, not just a few, to nurture and support a dynamic economy in which we all have a stake, to build communities of care and compassion, then we'll succeed. We'll have done more than win an election. We'll have made life better for working families. We'll have given every child an opportunity to succeed. We'll have put an end to the kind of polarization that is holding us back, and we'll have delivered lasting change. Those things are worth fighting for. I hope you'll join me. I know it won't be easy, but we can do it, and together we will win. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today.